What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Nastasha, also known as Miss Distortion. I got that right, didn't I?
Yes.
All right, sweet. So she's from Jigsaw Youth, a group out of New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Staten Island.
Cool. Yep. So, I guess let's just get started. If you want to introduce yourself and kind of just start from the beginning for people to get to know you, and maybe with like how you got into music itself and how you ended up getting Jigsaw Youth together.
Sure. So my name is Nastasha. I play guitar in Jigsaw Youth. March 15th of this year will be 10 years that I'm with the band. Maria and I, unfortunately, like, she couldn't make it tonight, but me and her started it when we were teenagers. I've always been into music, though, like, since I was a kid. Started playing guitar when I was 12, was more into, like, the classic rock, you know, just, like, total dad rock stuff.
Yeah,
grew up on, like, Led Zeppelin and Sabbath and everything, and then once I got into high school, I, you know, heard, like, Black Flag for the first time in my life and Sex Pistols, and everything just changed. It wasn't just like, oh, I love music. It was like, wait, what is this? Like, so I started really getting into punk, and then kind of just trying to start a band when I was like a freshman in high school. It was really hard to find people that like wanted to play punk for whatever fucking reason. And then once I started kind of realizing that people play live and there's shows of people that like weren't savants, like at their instruments, they were just like, it was more feel, you know, just like the total punk mentality. Yeah. I was like, oh, so I don't like have to be skrilling this stuff to play live. Like I could play like next week. So that kind of opened my eyes. I started going to a lot of local shows and networking and meeting people. I was so desperate to start a band, and I had an anonymous Tumblr back in the day when that was a thing. And it was all about bands and stage lighting and photography. And it just so happened Maria also had an anonymous Tumblr, and she messaged me one day and was like, hey, I like your page. And there was no names. There was no profile. Yeah. It was literally a fluke. And then we just started talking, and I was like, yeah, like I'm 16 and I play guitar and I'm from New York. And she's like, I'm 16 and I play bass and I'm from New York. I'm like, where at? You know, she said Manhattan. And then like, long story short, we're like realizing that we both have always wanted to start a band, couldn't really find anybody. And we were like, do we just meet up? Like,
yeah.
So we Skyped for the first time when that was also a thing. And we wrote our first song on Skype, and then we like met up downtown in like St. Mark's in Manhattan. And literally from the second we met, we were like, yeah, we're going to do this. And it just kind of happened from there. It was a nonstop grind since we were 15, 16 years old. So here we are, quite some time later, but really from the trenches, like really we were playing a lot of like really seedy, dangerous punk.
That's punk though.
Disgusting, bro. I'm talking disgusting houses. You know, either Staten Island or upstate New York. Started doing DIY tours from there, and then like DIY regional tours, then coastal tours, and then like because of that, and putting out demos, you know,
mm-hmm.
It was all grunge at the end of the day, punk and grunge. Because we really never let up. We went on tour. We got our first national offer with Destroy Boys at the end of like 2021, because we started doing well, like coastal. We were doing really cool like college shows, and we started kind of getting like an internet buzz a little bit. But really we were like on the floor, like really playing a lot all the time for like no money. Finally got our first real deal offer, direct support for them. Every show in every A market was sold out, and it was just off to the races from there. Like,
yeah,
the calls and the tours and like, you know, our introductory to like industry shit, and really like made Jigsaw Youth an LLC once we started realizing like, whoa, we need to like put this money somewhere and start really being smart with like how we operate this business. And so it's been quite some time, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. And I imagine a place like New York, I mean, that's a great scene for punk and everything, even going back to you know, when punk really first started kicking off, if I have that right. So is that kind of how the scene was? Was it like pretty, I love talking to people who are like punk fans, because I feel like not a lot of people are actually punk fans. They like, they think they are, but like, they don't know. It's basically exactly what you said, like how it is all feel. That's all punk is. You don't have a lot of technical players, you know what I mean? So it's just really all about feeling. And I guess, yeah, going back to what I was going to say is, was the scene when you guys were starting up, was it like easy to get involved with, like in the punk kind of side of it? Or was it hard to find your place?
It was a little hard at first, just because we were really young girls and mm-hmm. we weren't even old enough to really be playing the clubs and the venues that we were playing. So that was like an issue at first. Like sometimes people would book us and not even know that we were teenagers, and like at the door, like with our equipment, they were like, oh nah, you're not coming in here. It was a mix of that, and also just like, you know, at the time it was like a super male dominated you know, genre, so there wasn't like a lot of girls doing it, and I guess we weren't really taken too seriously. But also we were young, and like we still had to grow into our instruments, so like I get it to a certain degree, but it was almost like, that band's like shitty, and like just because they're dudes, they're in this thing. Yeah. There wasn't really a lot of punk going on when we started. There was a bit of it, like on Staten Island at least, and we clicked up with those people. And because the shows were just so fun, people just, you know, started like coming out whether they liked it or not, because we would blend the shows with like hip hop and like other like alternative acts. There were pockets of like just straight up punk, like, you know, Fugazi, Dead Kennedys, like type of scenes in the boroughs. And it was cool, and we were rocking it for a little bit. But then, you know, you start to get a little older and you're like, nobody here wants it as bad as me, and no one's really taking this as serious as we are. And we kind of just like fell out of the scene as far as that goes a little bit. You know, like if you're playing a show and like no one's bringing merch to sell, or like it's just kind of like a mess, or they're really cool with just staying at that level.
Yeah.
There's no progression with a lot of the bands, and a lot of just drugs and alcohol and violence. And like shit was cool at first until it just like wasn't cool anymore. And we were like, nah, I'm trying to play like festivals and really like make this legit. And yeah, so it's like took us a long time to get in. Once we were in, we were like, this isn't enough, and mm-hmm. kind of bounced out. So
yeah, right on. It's good that like the motivation kicked in, though. Like it's like you said, like a lot of bands just stay stagnant, and it is really cool. And I did see, didn't you play Louder Than Life a couple years ago?
Oh, this past fall.
This past year, okay.
Yeah, and Aftershock.
Yeah, I think that's when I didn't go. I went 2023. I didn't go 2024, but I do remember seeing you on that massive lineup they put out every fucking year. It's hard to read it sometimes. But yes. And also, didn't you guys play a few shows with Silly Goose?
We just wrapped up a tour with them this
they're
year.
Great. They're great. They're friends. They're friends of the program, you could say. But they're
oh, awesome. Yeah.
How was like, that?
That was the greatest tour we've ever done. It was just like every night was so energetic and so fun. And it was just cool to be with a tour package where every single person got along. Mm-hmm. And none of us slept for weeks because we just were so excited to hang out with each other. And then we both played Shiprocked, the cruise, yep, afterwards. So it was just like, even when the tour was over, it wasn't. And I'm also just a huge fan of their band. Like, we love nu metal. And it was literally like the modern, like, Family Matters tour. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
It was like Korn and Limp Bizkit. That was like us. It was so great.
Yeah, because that's what I'm nu metal's like my favorite genre. So that's how I first saw Silly Goose. And then when I hunkered down finally and started listening to you guys, it's like, it's really cool, because it's obviously the punk influence for sure, but there is so many other like sounds that come from it. So I guess, how would you describe your guys' sound?
So like, we used to market ourselves as punk grunge, but then we were like, we're kind of leaning into this nu metal thing, so what's really going on here? And we came up with like our own name for the genre, because we were kind of trying to figure out like, what exactly are we? Like, did we make a different genre? Because I know that we have influences, but I don't know of any other bands that actually sound like us. So this might sound stupid, but we're calling it back end.
Okay.
So like, I'll explain how we got there. We were on tour. We were at the merch table. We were high as fuck. And this guy came over to us and he was like, "You guys are like the back end of every genre that like everyone loves and like no one talks about." And I just like looked at the girls and I was like, "Bro, we're all like the Cuddy, like your favorite Cuddy songs from mm-hmm. your favorite bands, like put together. Like we're back end grunge, bro." So that's what we kind of started. We kind of just started throwing that like name around just to see how it would stick. And like, it looks like people kind of like it because it's, I don't know.
That makes sense.
Like, you know, when you have like a band that you really fucking love and there's like some songs on there that you're like, how is this not their hit? Cause I love it so much, but it's like weird. That's just like us.
Yeah. Multiple Limp Bizkit songs come to mind for me. It's like it's crazy. Yes. That's a great term though. You gotta pen that, make that like a thing on Spotify or shit.
So it's in our bio right now that like we're back end grunge, but then once people start to get familiar, we're gonna drop the grunge because the back end is supposed to be like, we're the back end of grunge and punk and nu metal and alternative stuff and industrial, like we are all of those things were, so I don't know. We'll see, but that's what I'm kind of working on at the moment.
Right. Hell yeah. So, when I was looking at your guy, like researching you guys a bit, I saw a lot of pictures and videos of your guys' live show, and I expected it to be pretty fucking intense and a lot of fun looking, and it really does look like that. So how would, I always feel like the live show is what keeps fans coming back and gets new fans, like aside from, you know, like the merch and stuff like you mentioned and everything, but right. like the live show, I mean, I think that's what creates fans like who would never have heard of you through like another outlet. So I guess how much like how you would describe your sound, how would you describe your live show?
So our live show is super fun, and we're very like, Maria and I are very hot on the mic. A lot of bands, I feel like they're pretty like, you know, they play their song like, "Hey, what's up guys, blah blah blah." Like if we see that there's not some type of movement or flow of the night, we really start taking charge and telling people like, "Split it the fuck up, open up the," you know, just to break the ice, because it's like sometimes when you start the show and it's a little too stiff, or like the opening band like didn't really like, it's hard. It's mm-hmm. hard to crack a crowd if like everyone's not feeling it, but like they're jonesing for it. Like they want someone to tell them to go ham. So we're just those girls that do that. And when they do respond, which most of the time they do, depends on the tour package of like, who's the headliner that you're like, at least for our own headliner shows. And then stuff like Silly Goose, like they were super receptive. And even if you're not into rock per se, it's undeniable that we put on a fun show, like whether you're into it or not. It's just like, we did like a weekender this past weekend in like upstate New York and stuff. And it was like, I can't even describe how fun it was. Like, you know, just bodies being thrown, walls of death, mosh pits and stuff. Like we like stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just want to see that the entire time. That's why we joke. We're like, is this a show or like a gym class? Like my bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's good. You challenge the crowd. That's something I didn't think about until very recently, like a couple weeks ago. I went and saw, I don't know if you heard of Austin Mead. He plays at a lot of like rock festivals and stuff too, but he had a show in Nashville. So there's a lot of, I'm gonna make this short. Sorry. I've been telling a bunch of stories.
It's okay.
There was a show in Nashville, and it was kind of it wasn't a teeny place, but it was like a medium sized place. And you got a lot of like the country fans mixed with the rock fans, 'cause you're in Nashville and stuff. He's from Texas. So you have like a bit of a weird crossover.
Yeah.
And, about halfway through, like I'm used to rock shows, like the ones you're talking about, where it's like, everyone get the fuck up, start like circling around, stuff like that. And halfway through the show, it was just really stiff. And he said, kind of like how you guys do, he said, "What are we doing?" He's like, "What do you want us to play? Like, how are you going to get like fucking moving?" He's like, "I want you guys to start jumping." He jumps into the crowd and stuff. Like, I didn't. And then after that, a friend of mine was like, "Does he always challenge the crowd like that?" I'm like, "Don't everybody do this?" So like, it's really cool to hear like, you know, I don't think of that. I'm sure you don't think that's just natural, right?
Like, yeah, I just, I'm not going to stand there and like not say anything. I mean, you read the crowd.
Yeah.
Like there've been some tours where we're with, like I don't know, a headliner that maybe doesn't sonically align as much as like the team thought, or, you know, their demographic is like older and not mm-hmm. trying to throw down. But you know, if you're looking at the crowd and everyone's like fucking under 25 and they're like fiending to do something, they're just like nervous, because I don't know how old you are, but like, I'm not going to be the one to start moshing and doing shit at shows. Like, I'll summon. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing all of that.
Yeah, I've done enough.
Yeah, like, I got knocked the fuck out at, like, a show basement before, and, like, it wasn't intentional, so, like, I'm good. But some people probably have that, where, like, I'm just going to chill. Not at our shows, not at a Silly Goose show, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you set the tone, and, you know, you gotta just, you have to just market it the right way. Because we did a bunch of tours where people were standing still, and you're like, what, like,
yeah, it comes to a point where it's just awkward.
Oh my, please. And every band, no matter who, has been there before. Yeah. You know what I mean? So when you get a tour like Silly Gooses or like Destroy Boys or Pink Shit, where like the shows people are receptive and going ham, you're like, I don't want to play anything that isn't this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. So you guys being in this current state of rock music, I'll just use rock as an umbrella term. What are your thoughts on it? Because I hear it from a lot of like the older acts and like legacy acts. They're always like, a lot of them are like very hopeful towards it, you know, but like a lot, I don't know if a lot of them mean that, you know, the ones from like the 90s, they're probably just like, I kind of just checked out, I'm doing my own shit kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what do you think being in it now? Like, how would you describe this current state of rock music? Good, bad, what do you think?
I mean, I would think in the past decade, or maybe even the past, yeah, I would say the past 10 to 15 years, like, we're at a pretty good spot right now. Mm-hmm. The reason I say that is because, like, obviously the 90s, it popped the fuck off. And,
yes.
Like, I don't know if we've ever seen this before, but, like, everyone that was at their peak in the 90s, you know, like, Deftones and Korn and Limp and all those guys, like, even, you know, Kitty and, like, mm-hmm. They're living their prime again, and
yes.
In the same lifetime, and to go through that, like, just when you think it's like, oh man, like, were we ever gonna get those days back, like, they're living their prime for a second fucking time.
Yes.
That is insane. Like, hair metal never circled back the way that it did. And
at least not yet.
It won't. Because there's an edge to it that is not like that relatable to everyone.
Right.
But like, you know, 70s rock, it didn't come back. You know, what, we have Greta Van Fleet. It's just, it's not like.
Yeah.
So to have like 90s nu metal and grunge and like Linkin Park, like things like that, to come back and hit it as hard, where they're back to like doing stadiums and like festivals and like, yo, this is the time for all of us to jump in when it's really hot. Like, it wasn't like this 10 years ago. I would say early 2000s, it was more like pop punk, Warped Tour mm-hmm. was really doing its thing. Still rock and still, you know, pop the fuck off. It's fell off a little bit now, but it might, that emo shit might come back soon.
Yeah.
You know, things come back, but specifically, I just like watched a dude almost get run over, and it's just crazy how like people fucking work. Like, hello. I think we're at a good spot right now, because I would say, like, at the end of the day, I'm not a pop star, I'm not a hip hop artist, and like, those are the I'm not a country artist. Those are the genres that seem to pretty much be the top three relatively all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just am a rocker at heart. There's nothing I can do about it. I've been cursed. So it's like, I have to make this life work. And this is it. Like,
yeah,
you know, I, especially with, you know, people trending on TikTok and all of that bullshit. Listen, if it's going to sell tickets and get new listeners and it's going to work, it's going to work. And like, especially even being a woman now in the scene too, it wasn't like as dominant before to be a woman in rock. And now all these legacy acts are hiring women to play in these shows. I mean, Linkin Park has a female fucking singer, yo. I don't
yeah.
even know how I feel about that. But, you know, Incubus is hiring women, Turnstile, you know, MGK. Like, this is our time. I'm feeling
yeah.
good about it. I think the ticket sales are doing really great when it comes to this genre right now. Who knows how long it's going to last, but...
Yeah, but I mean, look at, like you said, those 90s, like Korn, Limp Bizkit, all that. They're back. Even like, look at like Nickelback, like those bands too. Nickelback, like
Creed?
Creed, they're selling out fucking arenas, and it came out of nowhere. And I think it is what it is, at least like for like more of the new metal groups and stuff, they are like undeniably themselves. And yes. Look at Limp Bizkit's probably the best example. They never took themselves too seriously. If they did, they don't anymore. And I think that's what's so relatable about them. And that's what I think that's a good lane to be in, to like not really lose. You might lose relevancy after a certain amount of time, but you could come back and it won't sound dated or anything like that. You know what I mean?
I mean, timeless music is timeless. Like you can't replace that type of stuff. So it's like, you could be a pop star and have the hit for the fucking week or 2 weeks or that month or even that year. But it's like, is in 30 years, is someone going to turn that on and be like, this hits my soul? I know it sounds corny, but like, I truly feel that that's why it's been taking us such a long time to really get out there. And like, I'm confident that we will eventually like get, you know, be bigger than where we're at right now. It's been a slow grind, but every year we've been climbing up the ladder, and it's because we refuse to, you know, do cookie cutter shit. I want to make timeless stuff. When I turn on Zeppelin, when I turn on Korn, or like, it doesn't matter if I didn't, or if I turn on Nirvana, like if I didn't listen to that record or that song for 20 years and then went back to it, it's still does something to me. So I think all of these bands that are surfacing and coming back, like they were themselves and they were original from the get. And like, you just can't beat that. You can't like cheat being authentic. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess we might as well talk about it because you mentioned it a few times, but being a female group in the rock industry and everything. And I know there's been different issues and different pros and cons with each genre and everything. But from your guys's point of view, how is it in the rock scene? Like with just being an all-female group?
Right now, I'm like, we're chilling. Like, I feel comfortable. I think that the energy has shifted. Like, before, I would say, I don't really think people gave a shit if women were really playing music. I mean, and I hate to say this too, but like, because of this whole, like, well, I'm a woman who plays guitar. Like, I've noticed just like a lot of girls kind of just stay stagnant and don't, you know, they're not really like ripping. Like, they're not like pushing themselves to do better. That's not everybody. I've just noticed like a lot of it. And, you know, they'll be like, well, women aren't really encouraged as much. It's like, yo, if you're going to wait for someone else to come and encourage you, you're never going to get there. You got to just do it yourself. And Maria and I have just always been that way. Like, I'm not intimidated by men in a scene. Like, I'll shoot my shot and, you know, like, network. I'm confident that I have a product that is worth something. And I don't really care, like, who's around me or whatever. Like, I think the music speaks for itself. So gender really just kind of, like, comes out of that. Like, it doesn't even apply because it's, like, the music is just the music, bro.
Yeah.
So I think overall, it's just been awesome. I mean, I think women are they're getting hired more for, like I said, all these like big legacy acts and everything. And I think people are prioritizing having women in their tour package because we just offer a different dynamic. And like, this is just where we're at. I mean, even me, like, I'm hired to play guitar for Destroy Boys. They could have gotten a guy. They've had other guys before, but like, I'm a boss. So it's like, whatever.
So it don't matter. Yeah.
Friends with them. And like, you know, I just think the, you know, energy has shifted a little bit. But yeah, like I honestly don't care. Like I'm very much myself. I have nothing to hide, and people rock with that.
Yeah. And the funniest thing, I see it on like comments and shit all the time. Like, someone will make a remark about like, man, this festival isn't hiring enough women or stuff like that. Kind of like we were talking about. And you get those dudes in the comments like, well, I mean, if you just make good music, it's like, well, they do. And it's like, yeah, so I mean, now what are you hating about? Like, it don't make sense.
Like, there's definitely less women in rock. That's just like, statistically, there's just less. Yeah. If you make good music, for sure. Like, you're not going to get things just because you're a woman. And if you do, it's just, it's, you're not going to keep up with that. Like, it's not going to last. Like, you have to be a good band. And yeah. Like, that's just where we're at. Yeah. Like, I don't know, if I was a promoter and I threw in millions to like put on a festival and stuff, I'm definitely going to want to broaden like who I bring in. Like, I'm going to want to listen to all these acts, but like a lot of people have to realize just like money is involved, and like certain bands just bring a certain amount of tickets. And it just so happens this industry is a lot of guys. Like pop, it's a lot of girls. So they yeah. say like the same thing. You know what I mean? Like Aftershock, we were the only girl band, like
wow,
the whole weekend,
man.
And I didn't even really think about it at first. And then I started really, like, I got home and started settling, and I was like, we were the only girl band the whole weekend. Like, that's gotta say something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not because like, oh, it's higher than because we're girls. Like, no, we've been grinding, and we're heavy. So yeah. You know, the music will do its own thing. Yes, just be yourself. Yeah,
and it does for sure. So speaking of music, what do you guys got? I know you guys put out a single in September. Secret, I
yeah, believe. We put out, yeah, was it September? Jeez. Yeah, we put out Secret sometime in the fall. I think it was September. And then we put out Waiting, I think like a month before. Yeah, I'm sitting on a project right now. I can't even really get into the details of it. I think, let's just say, I think people are interested. So I'm holding off on dropping it because I think if what I think is going to happen, we're going to blow it out of the water. And I have a meeting tomorrow into Friday to discuss all of that. So
right,
we
on.
Have things coming this year for sure. It's just a matter of, are these people going to get behind it? Are we rebranding? Are we going to like really put some money behind this and blow it out the water? But things are coming for sure.
Right on. Good to yeah. hear that. And also I'm curious on you were talking about Tumblr earlier, so that makes me think you and I are kind of around the same age, because I grew up, you know, Tumblr was big too. So I'm curious as to these days, with the social media being as big as it is when it comes to promoting yourself, like with TikToks and all that stuff, as opposed to when we were growing up, that was still like CDs and stuff like that, maybe YouTube videos and everything. Right. So with that change to being a lot of streaming and, like I said, TikToks, are you guys privy to that? Like, are you guys like, I myself suck at it. So I was wondering how you guys deal with that whole new thing.
No. Like, so I just turned 27. Mm-hmm. Like, as a business person, I'm going to tell everyone to get on every platform and do everything you can to every extent that you can to reach your audience. Do I do it? No. I want to. It's just like, you know what? Our Instagram performs really well. So like, we're on there plenty. Our Facebook is like, whatever, you know, we got a couple thousand people that are, you know, like following us on there to keep up, but it's just an older demographic. They don't need like the constant, like, reels and stuff like that. So it's not something that I maintenance too much. Twitter, like, I barely run it. I should get on it. We have a TikTok. I don't fucking touch it. Yeah. I'm just not a person that sits in front of the camera like a lot. You know what I mean? And if we do, like when we're together, of course it's a topic. And I'm like, yo, we should get on Twitch. We should get on this and do a Discord and all that stuff. We're going to get there eventually, but I think a lot of the priority has shifted where it's like, we have to go viral to like get successful and be successful. And it's just not the case. It's just not the formula for everybody. Like, we've gotten as far as we have with like, you know, opening up for some serious fucking acts and like opening up these serious festivals and like,
you're doing something right.
I've never posted a TikTok of myself. So, you know, I think every band has their own formula.
Yep.
I don't think it's ours, but like, we're going to try it at some point just so that like, you know, that way we could try it. But we just struggled with trying to be ourselves on an app that like kind of doesn't want you to be yourself.
Right.
You know, like if we jumped on Twitch, like, I don't know, I might stream me playing Guitar Hero because I'm like nasty at that. But you see, like things like that I can do. But if you want me to like do TikTok dances and like lip syncing my own shit. It's just not happening.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, if it's work, whatever's working for you, it works for you. You're right. And it's different for every band. So a lot of people, I feel like, who blew up on TikTok, you know what I mean? And are pushed into like, you know, the pool of piranhas, you could say, like trying to be able to keep up with that one viral moment they had. I feel like sometimes it might end bad for them. So it's probably good that you guys, you know, cut your teeth already. You're playing these shows, these festivals. So I feel like you're going down the right path. And go ahead.
I was just thinking, like, it's like when you're a small band doing big band shit, and you don't have like industry money or investors behind you, and you're still working a full-time job, you're trying to juggle like staying in this creative mindset on, you know, trying to prioritize writing music and marketing to get people to buy tickets to your shows. So when you add in like, what are we doing on all these streaming platforms, it does get hard to like manage it all. But there's really no excuses. Like, we should be on it and just trying to do everything we can. But yeah, like, that's just where we're at. And if we are doing it, like, when we're together, naturally we do a lot of bits, and like, we're just funny people. So like, we will do joke video, like almost like skits, like comedy skits, and then we put it up, and those do really great. So I tell them, like, we gotta hang more and just brainstorm more and do things like that, because people want to see our personalities. But all the other stuff, like, you'll never see me lip syncing to like a song or something. Like, I can't do that. I can't.
No, and you don't need to. I feel like that doesn't appeal to as many people as some may think, honestly. It's just like, cool. Like, I don't know. I can't explain it either. I'm clueless about it personally.
I hear you.
But anyway, before you head out, since it's March and I feel like I could still get away with asking this question, for the year 2025, with us still being at the beginning of it, are there any goals specifically or anything you want to accomplish as a group for this year off the top of your head?
I think really just like getting people behind us financially is like really my thing right now. Whether it happens or not, like, we're always going to like push forward. I just think like right now would be the time, because mm-hmm. we're sitting on something and we have people like, we have like some serious supporters. So we're going to see how everything goes. I think honestly, what I want to do is just up our game, like every level. I want our live set to be more coherent and better. Even if it already is, like, I want it to just be better. I want to write more music personally. I get really wrapped up with the business side of stuff and it takes me out of it a little bit, but I just want to hit the road and play more shows. Which is crazy, because like, I've only been home for like 10 days and I leave again. Like, this is like my first week back since January 6th and I'm leaving again next week. But like, I love the road. I love touring, just making more connections. I want to really solidify like our brand and our marketing and what we look like. I want to take our marketing more seriously. There's just so many things every year. But yeah, I mean, I would love to, you know, play more festivals and play, you know, play with bigger bands and stuff like that. But I think by the end of the year, I would love to feel confident enough to like do more headliners. We kind of doubt ourselves a lot. But the past few months, like the past 6 months, I would say all the headliners we did like were really great. And I was like, well, damn, I'm thinking we weren't ready this whole time. Maybe we just need to take the risk, because people are fucking here. And like, you know, you make more money headlining. So I think we're probably going to discuss something like that at some point.
Yeah. And I don't know about how a lot of that works, but just as a outsider looking in, I feel like the crossover fans from your guys' Silly Goose shows would be like perfect, in my opinion. I think that's a great pairing. So hope there's a lot of crossover there. That'd be sweet. But
I mean, we might, honestly, it went so well. Like, we've been talking about doing a second leg because it went too well. Like, it was just like, this was so fun, but we're going to see. I would also love to start exploring getting features on songs, you know, which is like bigger rock acts and stuff, or crossing over and doing like hip hop things. I have a lot of friends and like a lot of friends that like Jigsaw, and it's like, why don't we all just collaborate and do something and really like push it on like the streaming platforms and stuff. So
yeah,
there's a lot of things we got to do.
Hell yeah. Well, it sounds like you guys are doing the damn thing. So that's really exciting. And can't wait to see what's to come this year and after that. So thank you so much for hopping on. This was really fun to talk to you.
Thanks.
And also, before we go, if you have any plugs, like website, socials, you want to get out there, the floor is yours.
Sure. So you can follow us on Spotify, Jigsaw Youth, and we're on all streaming platforms. Instagram, Jigsaw Youth Band. Twitter is also Jigsaw Youth Band, and we're on Facebook, just Jigsaw Youth, and we're on all the things. Start following, and I'll get the notification to get back on the app. But yeah, we're gonna be posting all of our stuff. Like we have a link in our bio, so we'll be posting everything there with all the shows and stuff, bands in town. Like, you know, if you follow us there, you know, you'll know where we're gonna be at. But yeah.
Right on. So thank you so much for hopping on again. And y'all make sure to do that. Go catch a show. I know I need to. So thanks everyone for listening. Also check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials as well. Just Google us, we'll show up. So thank you so much. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you guys next time. My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Cause baby, I'm down to get dirty with you and me and some Tennessee whiskey on us. Try to make a mess of this simple.